The following is a recording for Bill Foran with the National Retail Federation on Thursday, July 13, 2017 at 10 a.m. Central Time. Excuse me, everyone. We now have all of our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. I would now like to turn the conference over to Bill Foran. Sir, you may begin.
Good morning, and thanks, everyone, for joining us today. I'm Bill Foran. I'm the Senior Vice President of Communications and Public Affairs for the National Retail Federation. To the chagrin of school kids and to the joy of parents, we're at back-to-school season once again, and we have some really strong results. It's consistent with what we've seen over the past few months, with consumers feeling a lot more confident about the economy and, as a result, more comfortable in spending a little bit more. Now, to discuss this year's results, we're going to hear from the NRF's President and CEO, Matthew Shea, Senior Vice President of Research and Strategic Initiatives, Ellen Davis, NRF Chief Economist, Jack Kleinhens, and Principal Analyst at Prosper Insights and Analytics, Pam Goodfellow. So to kick things off, let's start with a few words from Matt Shea, our President and CEO.
Thanks, Bill. Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining us. We're happy to be with you today to have this conversation. As Bill alluded to, and as you've seen by now in the press release, another very strong report in terms of the state of mind of consumers and their spending habits, which is all very, very positive, and we think is reflective of bigger overall macro trends happening in the economy. And so before we get into the specifics and dive in a little more deeply on the back to school, I guess I would just elaborate and share a little more context because in addition to doing the quantitative research that we are constantly doing, we are also always talking to our members, executives, CEOs, our board, and throughout the entire structure of retail businesses, however they may be operating. And, you know, the retail industry is in a very good place. You know, we forecast earlier this year expected growth for this year of between 3.7 and 4.2%, which would be higher than last year's 3.6%, and which, of course, is substantially higher than overall growth in the economy and forecast GDP. And I think that is reflective of the mindset of the consumer, as borne out in this particular conversation we're having today about back to school. And it, certainly it's true that the industry is in the midst of a major transformation that is affecting some categories of retailers and some brands to greater or lesser degrees. But one way or the other, there's certainly transformation occurring really across the industry, regardless of the line of business in which retailers are operating. And that, of course, is driven, at the end of the day, we talk about technology and we talk about social media and we talk about a variety of factors, but it is driven ultimately and primarily by consumers. And that is why, from a political perspective, the growth and the activity in the retail industry is also such a bellwether for the things that happen here in Washington and across the country. So there are many, many changes taking place, but we continue to see growth in job creation, more and better choices for consumers, and ultimately, in spite of the, or maybe because of, the disruption and the volatility that exists, a greater opportunities for the creation of new business and employment and productivity gains, all of which ultimately are beneficial for consumers, which is what this is all about. We will have an opportunity to have a conversation with several hundred of our members when they are in Washington next week for our annual Retail Advocates Summit, which will take place on the 18th, 17th, 18th of July. We are also very pleased that Vice President Mike Pence is going to be speaking to our attendees. And that visit, along with those of a number of others, are, we think, really demonstrative of the fact that that the retail industry is a central component of the conversations about what's happening in Washington and the activity that takes place on a variety of policy issues. I know we're here to talk about back to school, but I did want to share that overall context. Encourage all of you to reach out to any of us on the team. We try hard every day to make sure you've got the information you need to tell an accurate story about what's happening in the industry, and we want to be one of those sources that you call on often to help make that happen. With that, Bill, I'll conclude and turn it back over to you.
Thanks, Matt, and we'll have an opportunity for those on the call to ask you some questions here shortly as we go through the rest of the program. Alan, there's a lot to cover during the call, but I think those that are with us would benefit greatly from hearing what your top takeaways are from this year's back-to-school and back-to-college results.
Sure. Thanks, Bill. Hi, everyone. Just a friendly reminder that we are talking about back-to-school, but it is 165 days until Christmas, so let's not forget that either. But welcome to today's call. I wanted to give some high-level findings from the report, and then obviously Pam and Jack are going to dig into this a little bit more. So this year we expect back-to-school and college spending to reach $83.6 billion. That's up from last year's $75.8 billion. The last time we saw a figure this high was in 2012, when this combined spending reached $83.8 billion. So pretty good news, as Matt and Bill stated already. The strong projected numbers are connected with how consumers are feeling about the economy. They're very confident, as Matt alluded to. And recently, what we've been seeing is that consumers have been in a much better position compared to the last several years. More of them are in the workforce, and with higher wages, it makes sense why we're seeing them willing to open their wallets a bit more. And maybe if they're not necessarily buying more things, they might be looking for convenience more than sales, or they might be splurging a little bit on some items that they didn't feel comfortable doing a few years ago. Looking into the numbers specifically for back to school, families with children in grades K through 12, which Matt and I would be part of, plan to spend an average $688 on apparel, electronics, shoes, and school supplies for a total of $29.5 billion. That number is up by 8% from last year's $27.3 billion. And I would just encourage those of you who think this sounds like an awful lot and awfully high to keep in mind that we're looking at a difference of about $15 in spending per family. So this is not an unreasonable expectation, especially for people who are in a better financial position than they were a year ago or might be prioritizing things like convenience. One interesting tidbit is that parents aged 25 to 34 are driving some of this increase. These parents plan to spend about 9% more than they did last year, and they spend about $120 more than the average back-to-school shopper. Some of this can be explained by the fact that they tend to have more children in school than parents ages 35-plus. For those heading to college, students and families plan to spend an average of $970, which is up by 9% from last year's $889. That's actually a sizable increase, more than back to school, and that was just an interesting element for us as we were discussing the findings. Total spending for back to college is expected to reach $54.1 billion, which is not only higher than last year's $48.5 billion, but is also an all-time high for the survey. So back to college really is driving a big portion of the increase that we're seeing this year. Some of that is due in large part to a growing college enrollment. According to the National Center for Education Statistics, college enrollment has steadily increased over the last 5 years and is projected to reach nearly 21 million this fall. Something else that's interesting is that more of those students are moving away from home, so they're going to need certain supplies and materials that they wouldn't if they were living with mom and dad. So overall, we are forecasting a solid back-to-school and back-to-college season for retailers and consumers. Good news all around, and we'll be interested to see how a lot of this plays out. Turn it back over to Bill.
Thank you so much, Ellen. So let's jump to the top findings of the survey. Pam, what are some more interesting facts coming out of the survey this year?
Sure, and thanks for having me on the call today. Let's just dive into the survey results a bit deeper. You have some interesting insights. Among both back-to-school and college shoppers, electronics does tend to absorb a large proportion of budgets, and we see this trend obviously continues for 2017. Not only are electronics necessary for the classroom, but savvy parents can find great deals on devices this time of year. This time around, though, we asked about the types of electronics shoppers are planning to purchase. The most popular devices among back-to-school and college shoppers were laptops. And then accessories like a mouse, device charger, or flash driver were also popular among both sets of shoppers. And not surprisingly, probably calculators are at the top of the list for parents of elementary to high school students. More than one in three back-to-school electronic shoppers also plans to purchase a tablet for students. And what one of the more interesting things to come out of the survey this year is that intent to buy tablets rises among parents of younger students to about 40% of elementary school buyers. And then we see the opposite effect for laptops, with plans to buy peaking among parents of high school students at nearly 50% for those planning to buy electronics. What's happening here is likely the older the student, the higher the need for a more powerful device, perhaps for writing papers and creating presentations. But it is clear that devices, both laptops and tablets, play an integral role in the educational experience. And if you're wondering, college parents are actually the most likely to be in the market for a laptop this year, at about 60% for these electronic shoppers. Now, as for where parents plan to buy electronics and other back-to-class essentials like clothing, shoes, and other supplies, online continues to be a popular destination, with more than 2 out of 5 back-to-school and college shoppers planning to shop digitally this year. For back-to-school shoppers, online falls behind department stores, discounters, and clothing stores. And for those buying for college, online is the top destination. And this is a first among these shoppers since we began asking the survey in 2004. And so online is ahead of discounters, department stores, and college bookstores this year. It's important to note here, though, that this, what the concept of online shopping means to consumers. Online here isn't limited to pure play retailers. And to consumers, online simply means heading to any sort of .com and can certainly include the digital panel for more traditional retailers under this umbrella. And like previous years, online shoppers will be on the lookout for free shipping, with about 90% of both back-to-school and college shoppers indicating so. Buy online, pick up in store will also be a popular service among shoppers, particularly those buying for elementary through high school. And about 1 in 10 back-to-school and college shoppers, online shoppers, plans to give same-day delivery a role this year. Certainly the need for instant gratification is alive and well. And with that, Bill, I'll pass the call back to you.
Thank you so much, Pam. Jack? Can you give us a little more insight into the economy and how you believe it will impact consumers this back-to-school season?
Thanks, Bill. We're looking at a major turning point. As we get into July and going forward, we mark the end of the 8th consecutive year of economic expansion, where we've had 81 consecutive months of employment growth. We're down to 4.4% of unemployment. Yes, earlier this year there was a bit of a lull in the pace of consumer spending. Still a little puzzling why that occurred, but as we are in the second quarter, finish the second quarter, I think the second quarter certainly is a stepping stone for the outlook and for the back to school period of time shopping. Just a couple of things that I think is important as we are looking at current conditions and going forward. Certainly the consumer has been a driver in this economy. Again, they kind of put on the parking brake a little bit in the first quarter, but second quarter is shaping up to be a stronger one. We should probably see spending to get more closely back to trend. Perhaps 2.8% real growth on a year-over-year basis. Again, that's total consumer spending, not just retail. But, retail is a major ingredient in consumer spending. And we're waiting for tomorrow's numbers to come out. But if we look at the three-month moving average for the last 3 months, including May, we were up 4% on a year-over-year basis, which is, a solid leveraging point going forward. Spending has risen in the second quarter, and it's largely been dependent on job and income growth. Also important, I think, from a consumer standpoint is the gains in household net worth. We've seen gains in their wealth to a record level of $94.8 trillion in first quarter. We've seen home prices increase. Another indication that the consumer is engaged is certainly we saw last week where the consumer credit rose, especially for revolving credit, is up revolving credit is up $7.4 billion. And that's not considered a weakness. That's actually a strength that the consumers actually have been spending. And then on top of it, we've seen the consumer confidence numbers, as mentioned earlier by Matt, showing another strong sense of attitude towards the economy. So overall, I think that, again, we're looking towards tomorrow as kind of a confirmation that the second quarter is ending on a strong number, strong footing, going into the second half of the year. Its expectations is that it appears that there's still more to come. Consumers have the ability to spend. The big issue has to do with willingness and what factors might be keeping them from spending as much as we would hope. But nonetheless, I think it's a solid period of time, second quarter, and going into the third quarter and the rest of the year, I'm positive, and I think we'll see some good results.
Thanks so much, Jack. Todd, if you want to go ahead and give instructions and open up the line for questions, that would be great.
Certainly. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key, followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1.
While the queue is opening up, I think that, Matt, there's been a lot of talk lately, especially since the announcement of the Amazon purchase of Whole Foods, what this means for the industry. I mean, you've seen Amazon buying Whole Foods. You've seen Walmart buying Jet.com, Bonobos. What does this mean for the industry?
Well, I think, as we discussed a few minutes ago, I think it's really driven by consumers, and it's an effort by retailers of all shapes and sizes to continue to adopt the structures and the business models and the areas of expertise that they need. And the example you just gave, you gave the examples of two different things. One was an investment, literally in a bricks and mortar experience, but presumably to address the deficiency or to help solve the problem of, you know, how you do fresh produce and how you do the last mile. And that's been a notoriously difficult problem to solve. And on the other hand, you've got, the other examples you gave are of a company that's trying to get even better at what it does in terms of its online offerings and reaching new demographics and segments of the marketplace and the product offering, all those things. So I think we're going to continue to see this sort of thing. But it is interesting to me that that 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, we spent a lot of time, I think all of us, using the word convergence, and we talked all the time about convergence. And I think we were just a little bit ahead of ourselves because now we're actually really seeing it. And I think that's what this is. This is the manifestation of what we've been talking about for years, which is sort of the blurring of the lines and the complete and total integration of all of the experiences that customers want, because customers are essentially channel agnostic. They don't think about the channel when they are making that shopping purchase. They think about getting whatever it is that they're trying to buy. And I think that's what we've got to keep in mind if we want to intuit which way the industry is headed. I think we continue to look at consumers and consumer behaviors, and we'll see, I think, more and more and more of this that will continue to blur the lines of the way in which retailers look and how they're structured and the business models they adopt.
Great. Thanks, Matt. Okay, Todd, do we have any questions?
We do have one question from Ann DiNocenzio with the Associated Press.
Hey, Ann.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having this call. My question was this. You know, as you know, every other day there's a store, closing several locations. Denver was just the latest. So can you tell us just how you think this is going to play out in terms of the other retailers? Do you think there'll be certain retailers will see or really benefit, and get market share gains, or do you think it's just going to be kind of dispersed throughout the market, and you won't know, there's not going to be a major gain for retailers?
I'm going to let Matt answer that.
So, a couple things. One, just on the question you raised, it would be great if there was as much attention paid to store openings as there was to announcements about closings, because there are obviously going to be thousands of new locations opened in the country this year. So it may or may not be a direct one-to-one ratio, but there are enormous numbers of openings taking place, and there have been announcements about openings and expansion plans, and and we could talk about all of those and kind of go through segment by segment, but I think, to answer your question, if this were a economy that were not growing, then maybe you would see a lot of, market share being traded between and among retailers. I think in an economy that's growing, some of that happens, but you also see absolute growth because consumers are spending more and the economy is healthy. And I guess I would just finish by saying, it's obviously not a new phenomenon. I mean, this is what has happened. I mean, it happens in every business, but it's happened in retail, for hundreds of years. People come in and out of markets. Consumers change their preferences. So I do think the thing that has been missing from the dialogue is a more complete conversation, a broader framework that acknowledges that some brands operating in some segments, operating in some geographic markets with some real estate footprint are certainly under pressure. And there are other brands operating in the same and other markets that are actually opening net new stores. And again, we could talk about the segments. We could talk about the specific retailers that have made announcements. That's part two. And part three is you see digital players that never had a physical presence who are investing in and creating a physical presence. And I think all three of those things are ultimately about the way in which consumers behave. The very first thing, the thing that you asked your question about, that's substantially a real estate problem. A number of the analyses that have been done about this, one of the ones I saw recently from one of the investment banks, was that of the malls that have closed in the last couple of years, two-thirds of them closed not because of competition from e-commerce, they closed because new malls got developed, and those malls became obsolete. So, I think there are a number of factors here that are at play, and, when we have the conversation, and the group that's on the phone with us today is obviously highly informed about this because you cover the industry, but there are lots of other folks out there, observers of what happens, who don't have the totality of the picture, don't have the proper perspective. And I think that's contributed to a narrative that sort of paints the entire industry with a brush that's completely inaccurate in terms of job creation, in terms of growth. And that's unfortunate because not only is it misleading, but it leads to subsequent bad decisions and conclusions. So to answer your question, I think there will be some of each. I think there will be some that gets traded between them among, but certainly it's going to be absolute growth in the industry as well, given all the things we've talked about.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Ann. Todd, any other questions?
Yes, we have a question from David Moyne with Women's Read Daily. And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. Mr. Moyne, your line is live.
Yeah, thanks. It's Women's Wear Daily. But anyway, the question is, any sense of how department stores and apparel specialty stores might do during the back to school period? Is there any breakdown, retail sectors at all? Because, you know, a lot of the stores have been reporting negative numbers, but this looks like a big overall gain.
Let me refer that to Ellen Davis. Ellen?
Hey, Dave. We all know who you are. Sorry about that.
Just joking.
I'm going to pass it over to Pam after a little bit of context. But I think something that's interesting to keep in mind is that if you look at traffic patterns, traffic in most categories actually, according to the survey, is going to be down. And from our perspective, that could be an indication, again, going back to the idea that, you know, people might not be hunting for that sale and driving to five different places for back to school. They might just be saying, okay, I want to hit this place, and not necessarily feeling like they need to go to a number of different locations. So I would caution anybody from looking at, areas where people will purchase and compare them to last year and look at one specific category and say, this area is going to be down because, quite frankly, we think people are going to shop in fewer locations overall. Pam, I don't know if you have any other questions or any other context as it relates to department stores specifically.
No, I do agree with your sentiment there on, and, you know, we are seeing shopping patterns down at the various destinations year over year. But, yeah, I think maybe shoppers just don't have quite the game plan that they did or aren't the wide variety of shopping. But you know, clothing and accessories, especially for back-to-school shoppers, remains the top category of spending. And department stores and clothing stores rank right up at the top with, the destinations people plan to head this year, along with online. But, of course, online doesn't necessarily to a consumer mean pure play. So it could certainly include, a Macy's.com or, any specialty stores, digital outlet, too. So, I still expect those to be, pretty key areas for shoppers this year.
Thanks, Pam. Todd, anybody else?
At this time, we have no questions.
Okay, well, then that's it for today. If you have any questions? Oh, go ahead.
We did have one more from Megan Brophy with Independent Retailer.
Very good. Hey, Megan.
Hi, guys. So my question is, do you see Amazon Prime Day as impacting back-to-school shopping patterns?
What an interesting question. We were just talking about this yesterday. I'm like, somebody's going to ask about Amazon Prime. Say that again?
This is Alan Davis.
Oh, sorry. What, Bill?
Yeah.
Amazon Prime Day is interesting as it relates to a few different trends that we're seeing. First of all, I would argue that Amazon Prime Day was not exclusively Amazon's this year, as we did see a number of other retailers put their own spin on the word Prime and have promotions. As we look at back-to-school shopping, you'll see from the survey results that people are shopping and extending their shopping this year. This is not a new phenomenon, but I would certainly expect that some people took advantage of Prime Day for certain items from back-to-school, whether that was clothing or school supplies, maybe electronics. So, yes, I would think that it would be reasonable to assume that there were people shopping for school supplies as early as this week, and certainly the data reflects that as well.
Anything else, Megan?
Oh, that was it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Todd, anybody else?
No, sir, no further questions.
All right, well, then that does wrap it up for today. If you have any questions about the back-to-school press release information or any other issues, please contact our media relations team at press@nrf.com or call 855-NRF-PRESS. Thank you to those in the room, Jack, Pam, and Todd. This concludes the call.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.